Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here with our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Also, we'll mix in a little sports talk, Mike Dettelier, along with Coleman, making sure everything goes right in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish, John Ram. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for inviting me on to talk about this and for you guys putting the word out. Appreciate it.
John, this storm took a lot of twists and turns. So tell us a little bit about it. Maybe people are concerned if they have family and friends in the St. Bernard area, kind of what's happened over the last 24 hours there and what you guys are doing for cleanup and control afterwards.
Well, we got lucky again this time, Mike.
The track,
the way it went, really skirted us. We did get a lot of rain yesterday. In fact, I live up here in Araby, and we got over 9 inches of rain yesterday. It kept blowing hard and raining hard till late last night. Then rains quit, and the wind picked up. The winds were rough on the back half and the first half. But, I mean, we had no major damages. We had about, I think right now we got about 1,600 customers still out of power. Energy's working hard to get them restored. We had no road closures. We had a little bit of water over the road down on Florissant Highway. And if you're familiar with St. Bernard, which I'm sure you are, that road floods with a good east wind. We had a little bit over Delacroix Highway. But everything's open. We had no debris to pick up of any sort. This morning we went outside and started our damage assessment. We had a lot of little limbs, a lot of leaves, a lot of trash, some broken trees, limbs, knocked out some power lines. Fences, but no major structural damage to any homes that we have been reported to. Man, we got really lucky.
John, that's really great news for the people in St. Bernard. And they've taken some real hard shots in the past, so kind of spared a little bit on this one. I think we learn a little bit from every storm. Tell us a little bit about maybe when this is all over with, what you'll look back at this, because this was a very unpredictable storm. On kind of maybe not where it entered, but once it got into the state, kind of where it ended up, because Archie Chasson put it best. It was like an etch-a-sketch. I mean, the way it went a little bit north, a little bit east, and it kind of cut across and back up north. Kind of some of the learning things, because I think that's where we can get better in life. And seeing of some of the events that happen and plan for things that maybe is not the norm of the past.
Right. Well, you know, like you said, the path on this one, it was skirting the coast. Like you said, it jumped on land to come up. And what really surprised me, and I'm sure everybody else, is when it shifted to the right over Lake Pontchartrain and headed north. The storms don't play by our rules, as we found out in the last few years, looking back to Hurricane Michael several years ago.
Yeah.
You know, have what they call rapid intensification, more than 35-mile-an-hour increase in winds in less than 24 hours. You can, you know, say it was global warming, climate change. We don't know. But all we know is that they're becoming very unpredictable, so we have to be aware. In fact, the emergency managers in this region out here, which is Jefferson, Orleans, Clapton, St. Bernard, and all along the southern coast of Louisiana, we're trying to get away from the extended timeline when we used to have 4 or 5 days to plan. We've condensed it into, you know, taking out tasks that aren't really associated with life safety as some of the other ones are. So we kind of crunch it down on timeline. We're making good moves. We're asking our people and our residents, I should say, to be aware of what the impacts might be, not the category, because category pertains only to wind speed. Look back at Isaac back in 2012, very low level category one, the flooding it caused. It sat and spanned and made two landfalls down in Plaquemines, putting water where water had never been before. So we've got to look at each storm individually. I've heard people say, well, this is only a Cat 1 or Cat 2. Well, Cat 1s are not Cat 1s. They're not Cat 1s. They have all individual characteristics. They all act differently. And there's so many atmospheric variables out there. The National Weather Service has gotten real good at telling us where it's going to hit. But as far as the intensity, they ramp up with no warning at all. Now, this one ramped up a little bit. They kind of expected it to hit as a Category 2, which it did, but only when it made landfall, which is strange. You very seldom see that. So we ask the residents to look out for themselves, watch their favorite meteorologist on TV. We use the National Weather Service for all our plans and all our decision-making. Look out for your friends, your family, your neighbors, because I'm sure there's someone on your block who needs help. For example, the other day, President Pomus was out in the parking lot. We were giving out sand for people, and this little old lady was out there. He stopped to help fill up some sandbags for her. So you've got to look out for yourself, your family, your friends, and your neighbors. And pay attention when we ask you to leave or tell you to be aware of what's happening. We can tell you pretty much what's going to happen, but we can't tell you what you've got to do for you and your family. That's a decision you have to make. Whether you have kids, elderly, you have pets, it's different for every family. So look at what's happening. Listen to your elected officials, your emergency managers. And like I say, each storm is different. So don't say just because it's the Category 1 or 2, well, I'm not going to leave. That's the decision you've got to make based upon your needs for your family.
John, one of the things is we've learned now, if you're going to evacuate, you got important papers, if it's insurance papers and certain things you're going to need down the road. And if it's passport, there's a host of them. And I have a friend of mine who doesn't live that far from me. He's like, Mike, I finally changed the Ziploc bag I've been putting this in for the last 10 years. He said, I got a new one for it. But that's something you maybe didn't think about. Our moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, they didn't think about that. But in today's world, you got to think about if you're going to evacuate, what you bring with you, and putting that in somewhere where it's not going to get wet.
Right. I know when I was little, we went through Hurricane Betsy before that. I forget which hurricane it was back in the 50s. Daddy said, okay, let's go. I don't remember him picking up.
No.
Maybe we just went to a shelter. But like you said, nowadays, you've got to have all the documentation, birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, everything in hand, because when you go to file a claim for whatever, you've got to have proof of what you had. A good practice is, if you do evacuate, take a picture of all your inside your house, your console, or even better yet, take a video. Keep that with you. And make sure you have documentation, because when you go to file for an insurance, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be there. And I know people say it's a hassle, but don't wait until June or July to get ready. Start at the beginning of the year. Start thinking ahead. I know we, in the emergency management field, we start planning in January, okay? We look far enough ahead. We start working on what's going to happen down the road. We hope it doesn't happen, but we plan, we practice, and we test our plans to make sure that if something comes up, that the best time to find out is during an exercise, not during a storm. Get ready ahead of time. Don't wait till the last second. Be prepared is all we can tell you to do. And the Governor's Office of Homeland Security has a good, you got a gameplan.org. You can go there and it tells you all kind of information about what you should have, what you need to take with you, and how to prepare for storms. So we ask them to, check it out and look at it.
John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And knock on wood, things look pretty good for St. Bernard Parish. I'm sure for the people who, without electricity, they want that back on as quickly as possible. But got spared a little bit this time, my friend.
Yes, we did. Thank you for having us, and thanks for putting it out there and for all you do for us and the parish and state and everyone else. We thank you for that, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. John Ram, who is the Director of Homeland Security for St. Bernard Parish. When we come back here on our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine, we'll have on with us the Director of Marketing for Rouses, Tim Acosta. Tim will join us and tell us about which Rouses are open. I know people always asking about ice because you're not electricity, man. You need some ice. So we'll talk to Tim about that right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine here on the Big 870 WWE. I want to tell everybody at 7 o'clock, we'll have Thursday night football as the Buffalo Bills play the Miami Dolphins. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Director of Marketing for Rouses, Tim Acosta. Tim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, Mike, good afternoon. Good to talk to you today.
Tim, I heard Mr. Donald last night say you had 18 Rouses that were on generator. He said, I don't ever remember that happening, that you had 18 of them at that time that were running on generator. And so tell us a little bit about, I think all but one Rouse is open at the present time.
Well, actually, all of our stores are open.
Okay.
We're fortunate enough today, Mike. This morning, we had all of our stores were able to open up at our normal hours. We had one store, the store in Plottenville, that was just a little delayed because of a generator issue. But by 9 o'clock, he was open and ready to roll, too. So this is one of the very few storms that I remember that we didn't have any stores that we was able to get them all open, you know, because we always had some sort of a problem or another. But we were very fortunate this time. And I think we're just better prepared. You know, we have better generators, better equipment, you know, more technology, communication lines and so forth. We can, you know, determine problems right away, which generators are on or which ones didn't come on. So we can dispatch our teams and crews out just to make sure that, you know, to get everything checked out. But we were very happy to hear that we was able to get them all open on time this morning.
Tim, one of the things with still people without electricity, everybody wants to know about ice. And so that's mm-hmm. something throughout the stores. How well you guys are stocked on ice?
We have ice coming in, you know, all day. You know, each store is getting a couple deliveries a day right now. We have ice, you know, going out just from morning to the evening. And the ice deliveries will continue. And obviously we're sending them more as power comes on. You know, we're diverting more of the ice deliveries to the areas where there's still no power. But good news is, you know, that there's a lot of stores are, you know, starting to slowly get some power back. So,
and the people affected quickly with Francine, certainly in Terrebonne Parish, St. Mary, and also in Lafourche, with it. Mm-hmm. Those are people, for the most part, who are without power.
Yeah, right now, I know that, you know, all of the stores from Thibodeau all the way down to, you know, La Rose and Gula Meadow and Lockport, all of our home stores, there's no power anywhere around here. I did hear a report this afternoon about 4 o'clock where the Plottenville area, which is near up there near Napoleonville, they got power back. So
okay.
I got a feeling, you know, that's good news because, you know, the energy will start, you know, working the power lines from up the bay and working their way down. So we're hoping that, you know, the next couple of days we'll be all the way down towards the La Rose and Galliano stores.
Tim, I think for a lot of people, if you've had stuff in the refrigerator, not a freezer, you keep that babe closed. And you try to hold it out and hopefully that you can get the electricity back on in the next day or so. But for stuff stored in a refrigerator, how long could that last before you got to make the decision to throw it out?
Yeah, I wouldn't go no more than, you know, 6 or 8 hours, probably, myself personally, Mike. As long as you keep your refrigerator door closed, you know, the better chance it's got to last. But if you open it and you touch it and you feel it, you know, it doesn't have that chill, you know, feel to it, that chill temperature, let your instinct tell you it's probably no good and I wouldn't even take a chance. So, more than likely, if you don't have a generator right now, a lot of folks with the, you know, refrigerator by the end of the day today from last night, yeah, it's probably not I wouldn't use it. So,
Tim, one last
good news is go to Rouse's. You can get some fresh milk, fresh eggs, fresh dairy, orange juice, because all of our stores are on a full generator, and you can get some fresh products. So that's the good news.
I was going to ask you one thing you want to tell everybody, but I think you answered my question before I was able to ask it, and that everything – that's good. One thing about it, the fact that kind of thinking ahead of time, and you guys know what people in the area want to eat, because there's always people that they kind of load up on the snacks. Okay. Oh, we now sometimes they eat them before the storm gets there. It's no leftover for later on. But one of the things you guys do is a really good job of understanding what people are going to buy during these type of an events, I should say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're here. We live here. We go to the storms just like, you know, everybody else does. And our families are all here. And so, yeah, we know you got to have a you know, you stock up on some non-perishable canned good items, and, you know, just got to, you know, what to stock up on. So we know what to have inventory on, like water and such, like pre-storm. And then we know immediately right after the storms pass, you know, we got to have loads of water and ice, even dry ice we have in some of our stores, you know, to help people keep some items fresh and frozen in their ice chests and so forth, if they don't have generators running their refrigerators. So, yeah, I mean, that's just what we do. I mean, it's not our first rodeo.
No.
We've been doing this for, you know, 60-some-odd years since Mr. Rouse started up in 1960 and been through many, many storms.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. And again, every Rouse in the area is open, and you got an ample supply of ice. Because are we getting that on the text line? A lot of people will ask, does Rouse have a lot of ice? And so I said, I'll ask him. So you guys, every store open, and you got plenty of ice to sell.
That's correct. And we have ice coming in. So, and then if you go to the store, and if we don't have it at that time, just check back with our store. Because if it's in the morning we're out, we'll have another delivery coming in the afternoon. One thing I do want to mention, Mike, though, is our Homa and Thibodeau stores, we will be closing early tonight. All the stores are open, regular hours. The Homa and Thibodeau stores, though, will be closing at 8 p.m. tonight. Also, our Down the Bayou stores, too, down by Lafourche Day. But everybody is opening up again tomorrow morning at regular hours.
Tim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
All righty. Tim Acosta, Director of Marketing for Rouse's Markets. When we come back, we'll have on with us Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We'll take a little break from the aftermath of Francine coverage, talk a little bit about the high school prep kind of schedule and how it's been rearranged over the last couple days. We'll be back with Alan right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTillia here on the Big 870, and we have extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. And we're going to deviate just for a few moments and talk to Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Alan, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And, man, everything's been kind of swinging around a little bit. I know they got a few games tomorrow, but most of these games now have been moved to Saturday.
Yeah, Mike, thanks a bunch. Yeah, it's been kind of a rocky start here to the high school football season in 2024. You know, last week a lot of teams dealt with heavy downpour rains. The game we were at, Destrehan and Catholic, was a monsoon for the entire four quarters. And then obviously this week with Francine, and they moved a lot of these games. I think the weather's going to be fine tomorrow, but it's just because none of these schools, you know, they were out for the last couple of days. The teams haven't practiced. So most of the schools in the New Orleans area, the North Shore, they've decided to move their games to Saturday.
Alan, what are the feature games this coming weekend as we talk about Saturday games and that you're looking forward to cover?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were going to be at St. Paul's and Brother Martin. That's where we were going to be tomorrow night, and that game actually got moved. They're going to play, I think, 1:30 on Saturday there in Covington. So that's certainly a big game. And, you know, another game we were really looking forward to watching was St. Charles Catholic and Lutcher, and they've actually canceled that game completely. So they're not even going to play that game. Yeah, so and unless something's changed, but that's the last word I got, that game was canceled completely. So that's certainly a disappointment, because those are two fan bases in the River Parishes that really, they've played some classics the last couple of years, Mike.
They love each other and hate each other at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'll tell you, they do have some other games, you know, across the state that are big that will be played tomorrow night. Calvary Baptist, defending state champion, they're going to take on Neville tomorrow night. That game will be played because that's in North Louisiana. Acadiana is going to play St. Thomas More, another big game there as well. So, look, there's some big games on the slate. We just don't have a chance to cover a lot of them tomorrow night live because most of them are going to be played on Saturday. But, you know, look, this state, one thing that I've been really impressed with the first couple of weeks of the season is teams have gone out and scheduled well. You know, they've gone out and said, hey, we're going to play some of the best teams in the state early on in the year. And I think those teams that think they have a legitimate chance to win the state championship, that will help them when they get into the playoffs.
One of the I talked to Coach Lasang at E.D. White, and he was telling me, Mike, first two games, Holy Cross and Jesuit. I was like, what? Who scheduled this? He said, well, I got a part in it. I said, well, okay. Athletic director there starting to try to get the head coach fired. But, man, E.D. White really looked good last week. Really, really looked good.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Mike, I'd say I think E.D. White is one of the most underrated programs in the state. They've done such a great job. They're year in and year out, a quarterfinal, semifinal program. And, you know, it's just not that long until they kick down the door and get a state championship here in the near future. They were very, very impressive last week against a Holy Cross team that had a fabulous year a year ago, very well coached, you know, a bigger school. And, you know, EDY, again, what a great performance by them in that program.
Up on the River Parish, I mean, you can kind of go through it, but, boy, Destrehan stays the kingpin there. Good gracious. They got some talent on that football team, a well-coached football team. And, again, if you want to meet college coaches, just go to a Destrehan game. They're all over the place.
Mike, we were there last week, and, you know, it's pretty impressive. You walk in their stadium, and they have, you know, big on the side of the stadium, home of Ed Reed, home of Justin Jefferson. I mean, like, and those are two great ones, and they've had other fantastic players, and they maybe never even made it to the professional ranks, but, you know, that's just a breeding ground for high school football and Destrehan. And you know what's crazy is the word, you know, we were kind of getting was, you know, they won state 2 years ago, they were a semifinal team a year ago. Man, you know, maybe they're not going to be as good this year.
What?
And they led Catholic all the way until about 20 seconds to go in the game in a monsoon. They're fabulous again. Their wide receiver core is outstanding. And I think actually from watching that game last week, I think the rain actually hurt Destrehan. I think they could have really thrown the football around a little bit if it wouldn't have been such a monsoon. They have an outstanding quarterback, a guy that was a starter a year ago as a young player, and he's back. So, look, Destrehan, if they're not in the Final Four, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I agree with you. Alan, is there one team you look forward to on the schedule that you say, man, I want to watch them? Or maybe a couple teams like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, look, I don't think you can be in our state and not say, hey, when can I go watch Carr? Carr has, you know, they've become such a, you know, not only in the South, but they've really become known nationwide, just kind of, you know, for their entrance and their band and all their mystique. And, you know, they had the Algiers America television show. And, you know, they've had so many good players. And Bryce Brown is really – stabilize this thing. And you know what's crazy is you look up and they haven't won state in a few years. And you're like, man, you know, it's crazy because they just seem to be so dominant every year, but they've slipped up a few times in the playoffs. So certainly excited to watch those guys. You know, I got a chance to see Catholic last week. They're a team that ever since the split, Mike, they've exploded. I mean, they just reload every year. It don't matter who they lose. It doesn't matter. They just continue to get better players and continue. They've lost coaches. Doesn't matter. You know, those are just programs, and that's what we have in the state right now. Is we have some really, really good programs with good coaches and good tradition, and year in and year out, they're going to be in the mix.
Alan, got a texter asked, is there any games tomorrow that you know of locally?
Oh, well, okay. You know, I was actually on the phone with Ian Ozan, who's our other co-host, as well as Coach Lou Bowden, before I came on here, and we were kind of bouncing around, and there's still some stuff up in the air. There will be games tomorrow night. Make sure you tune in with us. We'll be with you from 7 to 10:30. But a lot of them have been moved to Saturday. But we're trying to pinpoint, because, listen, if that was a good game that was going to be taking place tomorrow after what we sat through last week in that rain, we certainly wanted to be out of the game. But we're going to have to play it by ear. And that's one thing about live radio when you're covering live events. You know, sometimes you got to just move around. And that's what we're trying to figure out as we speak. But we will have a show for you. If there's not a ton of games, we're going to have coaches interviews. We're going to get you previewed for Saturday. So it'll be a good 3.5 hours of high school football tomorrow night.
You made okay in the storm.
I did. We were fortunate. You know, I'm up here on the North Shore. Everything was great. We were very lucky because it was certainly headed right at us. But, you know, we're still without power, but I know a lot of the state is. And
We're
used to dealing with that here in South Louisiana. But you know how that is, Mike. You know, we'll figure it out. At least it wasn't real, real hot today. You know, it feels like we're getting a little break from the gods a little bit as it's a little cooler.
Alan, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it. You guys do a fabulous job on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Appreciate all the time and efforts that you put into it. This isn't something you just show up at the stadium. You guys do a lot of prep work leading up to the Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup show.
Hey, thanks, Mike Bonchi. You know, listen, this is certainly your stop for sports right here on 870 WWL. And, look, I've been doing this for a long time now with the program, and I can't get off the air without saying how much, you know, I miss Brad Lumine.
Oh,
obviously, we lost Brad in the offseason. What a fabulous guy that held this show together for such a long time. One of my really good friends. And but Ian's like, you know, he's taking the reins, and he's going to do a good job leading our show. But, you know, I'm a part of this because I feel like we do high school football in the state of Louisiana better than anywhere else in the country, and I'm excited to be a part of it every year. So, yeah, looking forward to being with you tomorrow night for 3.5 hours.
Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it, bud. Keep doing a great job.
Hi, Mike. Yes, sir.
All right. Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, and you can hear that game tomorrow, all his coverage of the prep ranks tomorrow night right here on the Big 870 WWL. When we come back, we'll have on with the Scooter Heap State Licensed Arborist with Ziegler Trees and talk to us about, man, sometimes trees planted in the wrong place, they can do some bad things. We talked a little bit about it, followed on lines and what it can do to affect your electricity, telephone. Also, too, man, what it does, if that thing gets uprooted and it's a big tree right in the front of your property, what it can do to a water line, too. We'll be back with Scooter right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here, Mike Dettelier on WWL Radio, to wrap up our coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francis. Mike Dettelier here on the Big 870, and we have extended coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. And we're going to deviate just for a few moments and talk to Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Alan, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And, man, everything's been kind of swinging around a little bit. I know they got a few games tomorrow, but most of these games now have been moved to Saturday.
Yeah, Mike, thanks a bunch. Yeah, it's been kind of a rocky start here to the high school football season in 2024. You know, last week a lot of teams dealt with heavy downpour rains. The game we were at, Destrehan and Catholic, was a monsoon for the entire four quarters. And then, obviously, this week with Francine and they moved a lot of these games. I think the weather's going to be fine tomorrow, but it's just because none of these schools, you know, they were out for the last couple of days. The teams haven't practiced. So most of the schools in the New Orleans area, the North Shore, they've decided to move their games to Saturday.
Alan, what are the feature games this coming weekend as we talk about Saturday games and that you're looking forward to cover?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were going to be at St. Paul's and Brother Martin. That's where we were going to be tomorrow night, and that game actually got moved. They're going to play, I think, 1:30 on Saturday there in Covington. So that's certainly a big game. And, you know, another game we were really looking forward to watching was St. Charles Catholic and Lutcher, and they've actually canceled that game completely. So they're not even going to play that game. Yeah, so and unless something's changed, that's the last word I got, that game was canceled completely. So that's certainly a disappointment because those are two fan bases in the River Parishes that really, they've played some classics the last couple of years, Mike.
They love each other and hate each other at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'll tell you, they do have some other games, you know, across the state that are big that will be played tomorrow night. Calvary Baptist, defending state champion, they're going to take on Neville tomorrow night. That game will be played because that's in North Louisiana. Acadiana is going to play St. Thomas More, another big game there as well. So, look, there's some big games on the slate. We just don't have a chance to cover a lot of them tomorrow night live because most of them are going to be played on Saturday. But, you know, look, this state, one thing that I've been really impressed with the first couple of weeks of the season is teams have gone out and scheduled well. You know, they've gone out and said, hey, we're going to play some of the best teams in the state early on in the year. And I think those teams that think they have a legitimate chance to win the state championship, that will help them when they get into the playoffs.
One of the I talked to Coach Lasang at E.D. White, and he was telling me, Mike, first two games, Holy Cross and Jesuit. I was like, what? Who scheduled this? He said, well, I got a part in it. I said, well, okay. The athletic director there starting to try to get the head coach fired. But, man, E.D. White really looked good last week. Really, really looked good.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Mike, I'd say I think E.D. White is one of the most underrated programs in the state. They've done such a great job. They're year in and year out, a quarterfinal, semifinal program. And, you know, it's just not that long until they kick down the door and get a state championship here in the near future. They were very, very impressive last week against a Holy Cross team that had a fabulous year a year ago, very well coached, you know, a bigger school. And, you know, E.D. White, again, what a great performance by them in that program.
Up on the River Parish, I mean, you can kind of go through it, but boy, Destrehan stays the kingpin there. Good gracious. They got some talent on that football team, a well-coached football team. And, again, if you want to meet college coaches, just go to a Destrehan game. They all over the place.
Mike, we were there last week, and, you know, it's pretty impressive. You walk in their stadium, and they have, you know, big on the side of the stadium, home of Ed Reed, home of Justin Jefferson. I mean, like, and those are two great ones, and they've had other fantastic players, and they maybe not even made it to the professional ranks, but, you know, that's just a breeding ground for high school football and Destrehan. And you know what's crazy is the word, you know, we were kind of getting was, you know, they won state 2 years ago, they were a semifinal team a year ago. Man, you know, maybe they're not going to be as good this year.
What?
And they led Catholic all the way until about 20 seconds to go in the game in a monsoon. They're fabulous again. Their wide receiver core is outstanding. And I think, actually, from watching that game last week, I think the rain actually hurt Destrehan. I think they could have really thrown the football around a little bit if it wouldn't have been such a monsoon. They have an outstanding quarterback, a guy that was a starter a year ago as a young player, and he's back. So, look, Destrehan, if they're not in the Final Four, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I agree with you. Alan, is there one team you look forward to on the schedule that you say, man, I want to watch them? Or maybe a couple teams like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, look, I don't think you can be in our state and not say, hey, when can I go watch Carr? Carr has, you know, they've become such a, you know, not only in the South, but they've really become known nationwide, just kind of, you know, for their entrance and their band and all their mystique. And, you know, they had the Algiers America television show. And, you know, they've had so many good players. And Bryce Brown is really – stabilize this thing. And you know what's crazy is you look up and they haven't won state in a few years. And you're like, man, you know, it's crazy because they just seem to be so dominant every year, but they've slipped up a few times in the playoffs. So certainly excited to watch those guys. You know, I got a chance to see Catholic last week. They're a team that ever since the split, Mike, they've exploded. I mean, they just reload every year. It don't matter who they lose. It doesn't matter. They just continue to get better players and continue. They've lost coaches. Doesn't matter. You know, those are just programs, and that's what we have in the state right now. Is we have some really, really good programs with good coaches and good tradition, and year in and year out, they're going to be in the mix.
Alan, got a texter asked, is there any games tomorrow that you know of locally?
Oh, well, okay. You know, I was actually on the phone with Ian Ozan, who's our other co-host, as well as Coach Lou Bowden, before I came on here, and we were kind of bouncing around, and there's still some stuff up in the air. There will be games tomorrow night. Make sure you tune in with us. We'll be with you from 7 to 10:30. But a lot of them have been moved to Saturday. But we're trying to pinpoint, because, listen, if that was a good game that was going to be taking place tomorrow after what we sat through last week in that rain, we certainly wanted to be out of the game. But we're going to have to play it by ear. And that's one thing about live radio when you're covering live events. You know, sometimes you got to just move around. And that's what we're trying to figure out as we speak. But we will have a show for you. If there's not a ton of games, we're going to have coaches' interviews. We're going to get you previewed for Saturday. So it'll be a good 3.5 hours of high school football tomorrow night.
You made okay in the storm.
I did. We were fortunate. You know, I'm up here on the North Shore. Everything was great. We were very lucky because it was certainly headed right at us. But, you know, we're still without power. But I know a lot of the state is. And
me too.
We're used to dealing with that here in South Louisiana. But you know how that is, Mike. You know, we'll figure it out. At least it wasn't real, real hot today. You know, it feels like we're getting a little break from the gods a little bit as it's a little cooler.
Alan, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Really appreciate it. You guys do a fabulous job on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Appreciate all the time and efforts that you put into it. This isn't something you just show up at the stadium. You guys do a lot of prep work leading up to the Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup show.
Hey, thanks, Mike Bonchi. You know, listen, this is certainly your stop for sports right here on 870 WWL. And, look, I've been doing this for a long time now with the program, and I can't get off the air without saying how much, I miss Brad Lumine.
Oh,
obviously, we lost Brad in the offseason. What a fabulous guy that held this show together for such a long time. One of my really good friends. And but Ian's like, he's taking the reins, and he's going to do a good job leading our show. But, I'm a part of this because I feel like we do high school football in the state of Louisiana better than anywhere else in the country, and I'm excited to be a part of it every year. So, yeah, looking forward to being with you tomorrow night for 3.5 hours.
Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it, bud. Keep doing a great job.
Hi, Mike. Yes, sir.
All right. Alan Waddell, co-host of the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, and you can hear that game tomorrow, all his coverage of the prep ranks tomorrow night right here on the Big 870 WWL. When we come back, we'll have on with the Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Trees, and talk to us about, man, sometimes trees planted in the wrong place, they can do some bad things. We talked a little bit about it, followed on lines and what it can do to affect your electricity, telephone. Also, too, man, what it does if that thing gets uprooted and it's a big tree right in the front of your property, what it can do to a water line, too. We'll be back with Scooter right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here, Mike Dettelier on WWL Radio, to wrap up our coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll go to Thursday night football as the Miami Dolphins take on the Buffalo Bills. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with the Scooter Heap, arborist with Ziegler Trees. Scooter, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike. It's my pleasure to be here.
Scooter, kind of tell everybody a little bit about, man, tree situations, because in another world, in another life that I lived, man, one thing, we saw a lot of it, especially when you had a lot of rain, and then you get events like what happened yesterday. The trees, sometimes they don't make it, and they start to come down. And when they come down, they can take out a power line, telephone pole. Also, too, them suckers wrap themselves around a water line if it's close. And you take out the water line, too. Sometimes you get a 3-for-1 shot all in it.
Water lines, cast lines, name it. Anything underground that's near them, they'll pull them up for sure. With this storm, Mike, it was all about ground saturation.
Yeah.
All the rain we got. You got to realize that all these hardwoods that we have growing around here, their root systems are maybe 18 inches deep, beneath the surface. And you dump 6, 8, 10 inches of rain on top of that, it doesn't take a whole lot to get that whole root system saturated, which definitely, affects the tree's ability to anchor itself. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take strong wind after a saturation for a tree to go down. It can be, lopsided in canopy weight, and that'll pull a tree over. If a tree just has a natural lean to it and the ground gets saturated, they're very capable of just teetering over. But that's what we saw. I just don't think it was this go around. I don't think it was much about the wind. I think it was all about the ground saturation.
Yeah,
you're right.
I agree with you. Scooter, one of the things, too, is, man, that tree looks real nice in the front of your yard when you first plant it. It's a small tree, and then it gets to be big. And then sometimes it causes a lot of issues. It looks nice and everything, but it can cause a lot of issues across the board. What would you suggest to people? They want the trees in their yard. Kind of where? What's the best place to plant the tree in the yard that it's not going to affect your telephone, your electricity, gas, water?
Well, I mean, obviously, you don't want to plant a tree that. First, let's back up a little bit. The LSU Ag Center is a great resource for everybody. It's free. It's open to the public. That they have a trifold pamphlet they'll give you that'll show you all the trees that do well in our area, how tall they're going to get, how expansive the canopy will get. So educate yourself. Take a little time before you just go stick something in the ground to know what this tree is going to be 6, 8, 10, 12 years down the line. Because, look, I tell people every day, trees are like my kids. They're cute when they're little, and they grow up to be kind of a hassle sometimes. So know what you're putting in the ground and what it's going to be down the road. I just see so often that people, they want immediate gratification. They like a tree when it's 6, 8 feet tall. It looks good in front, but like you said, boy, as it grows, it's going to become an issue if you've got it too close, you know, to your house. So my best advice is to educate yourself and know what you're putting in the ground and what it's going to turn into before you just stick it in the ground. And like I said, you know, the Ag Center has a website. They have outposts, you know, offices in all the parishes all around. And just do a little homework before you go stick something in the ground. You know, and it's wise. You can call Louisiana One Call, and they'll come out and they'll mark your utilities, because you certainly don't want to plant, you know, a tree on top of your phone line or your cable line or your gas line or your water line. So, like I said, just do a little bit of research, a little bit of homework, and things will be fine. We need trees. We need them planted. Just do it wisely.
One of the things, too, is tree trimming. That's become an art, too, to do it, because a lot of times if you've got one sort of toward the front of your home, it's not maybe necessarily the tree, but the branches get involved. And I think with this storm, Scooter, one of the things I was telling this to Archie Chasson, the president of Lafourche Parish, was that this is more of a branch storm than a tree storm. We had some trees come down, but you see a lot more branches than trees. And which you talked about, that it was more of a saturation event than anything else. That, too, is a major factor. If you're going to plant a tree that's going to be big, and you plant it in the front of your property, yeah, you better get ready to do some tree trimming or have somebody do it for you.
Certainly. You look, and again, another good resource is the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry website. They have a complete list of all licensed arborists. It's listed out by parish. Arborists are more than happy to come out and educate you as to, you know, where suggestions as to where to plant a tree or what kind of a tree to plant. You know, and then getting back to the trimming part of it, certainly get that same arborist can show you ways that you can trim a tree to thin a canopy or to raise a canopy or to reduce the canopy so that it doesn't act as much as a big wind sail in a wind event. You know, trees are maintenance. You've got to trim them every so often, just to get deadwood out of them, to thin them out so that they're, you know, just for healthy growth patterns. And oddly enough, when you plant a tree by your house, it always seems like its easiest source for the sun is towards your house. So they always end up growing the biggest, longest, heaviest limbs towards your house, because yeah, that's usually their least resistance to getting the sunlight that they need. So yes, you need to maintain them and you need to keep them trimmed. For sure.
Scooter, another thing, too, is I lost all my fruit trees for Ida. If it was mandarin, navel orange, lemon trees, and this is the time of year where all that starts to really kind of blossom out a little bit. In passing in the area before I got here, I could see, looked as though there was not a lot of loss of fruit from the trees for this storm. Because, man, for Ida, it uprooted my tree completely from the ground, for almost every one of them. But for this storm, it looks as though, for the most part, those fruit trees survived, Francine.
That, you know, it all depends on how you caught the wind, Mike, because I've dealt with a few trees here, fruit trees here, that took pretty good damage. Now, they're usually a lower stature, lower profile tree, but I mean, I think if your trees held their fruit, I don't think they got beat around by the wind, you know, so much.
One more thing with trimming the top of a tree. A lot of times people bring that up about just cut off the top of the tree. That's going to help out. In some cases, yes, but also, too, those branches reach out. You get a big, heavy branch over your home. Yeah, it might kind of give you a little bit of comfort there, but also if that thing breaks, guess where that tree's ended up, that branch, in your home one way or another. So about the cutting off the top of a tree, and I think it would depend on the tree itself.
Yeah, I don't ever recommend topping a tree, and the reason being, once you cut that terminal stem off, that top off, any limb that grows beneath that cutting, it no longer has the remainder of that trunk as support for the weight of that limb. So as that limb grows longer, it's going to peel out of the tree over time. Because another thing, that when you make that topping where you make the cut, the tree does not have the material makeup to seal over that wound. Whereas when you trim a limb properly, they have what they call the branch bark ridge or the branch collar, which is the tree's natural way to seal over that cutting that you made. When you cut the top out, the tree does not have that material at that point to make that, to cover up that wound. So that wound, being exposed to rain and sunlight, is going to eventually rot. And then when that rot gets down into that tree and starts working its way down, those limbs that are coming out of the trunk, as the rot gets to them, they're going to fall out of the tree. I rarely top a tree. The only time I do it is if it's growing under power lines or something like that. I do not recommend topping a tree. Some trees will take a topping better, like a magnolia does pretty well when you top them. But any other tree, I don't like to top them.
Scooter, one last thing before I let you go. Man, my mom, as she had gotten up in age, she had told me she had two persimmon trees in her yard. And she kept telling me, I hear some racket from that tree. I was like, what? She said, almost like somebody knocking on that tree. I was like, oh, come on. Because some days were better than others with her before she passed. And then I go in there and I hear it myself. It was a woodpecker in there. But the trees... something got in there that he was after, that he was hitting on it. And, man, he made, so good a shot across that tree. I couldn't have drilled a hole better than he did it.
Yeah, they, when they're going after it, boy, they especially those bigger woodpeckers. But most, when you see those straight little lines across the tree, it looks a lot of times that's a cedar waxwing, which is in the woodpecker family, and rarely do you see them. They're a nocturnal bird, but boy, they make a perfect straight line. It's unbelievable. But and they like those persimmon trees. The sap in those persimmons is kind of sweet for them, so they do like them.
He did a good job, I'll be honest with you. If he was a first or second grade, I'd have given him an A. Scooter, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, bud. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
All righty. Scooter Heap, arborist with Ziegler Trees. That finishes up for our extended coverage of the aftermath of Francine. Also, a little bit of sports talk. Now we're going to go to Thursday night football here on the Big 870 as the Miami Dolphins play the Buffalo Bills right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.